There's strong evidence that music education can be a pathway to other forms of learning. And it's with that in mind that the Melbourne-based Music Outback Foundation has been delivering workshops in remote communities in the Northern Territory, the far north of South Australia, the APY lands, and in Western New South Wales. So far, the Music Outback Foundation has visited 30 communities covering an area of over 350,000 square kilometres. Workshops are delivered as intensive week-long programs each school term. And in each region, the workshops lead to what they call a mob fest. It's a celebration of music. Away's Rico Adrin spoke with mob fest manager Leah Pa'apa and Music Outback Foundation's general manager David Melzer. But first, we're going to hear from founding director and current board member Steve Berry.
Just through happenstance, I got an opportunity to go and do a workshop on a remote community in central Australia, a little place called Mbangara, just a tiny place. There were probably three or four families that lived there in a very small government school, one teacher school, about 10 kids in the school. And I got to go there for a couple of weeks just to run some music workshops and see what happened. And it was a life-changing experience. I'd never been to a remote community before. And, you know, I saw, even though I'd lived in Australia for 40 years old and lived in Australia most of my life, I just had no idea that we had a country within a country here. And it felt like I should have had a passport, really, to go there. The language was different. The culture was different. And not just at any superficial level. It was very much like another part of the world. And I have traveled in, you know, remote parts of the world before, and I just couldn't believe that this was Australia. But it was a wonderful experience for me. The kids and the community, you know, through the kids, their parents and grandparents, all immediately engaged with me through the music that I was doing. And it just felt like this was something that really needed to keep going. The school was buzzing because there was so much enthusiasm about the music, and it was a great vision of that principal who that single teacher principal who didn't have music skills himself to realize that getting music in the school would be a good thing to do.
I am David Melzer, the manager of Music Outback. If you look at remote schools, they're the ones that are most disadvantaged, and unfortunately, it seems like things that we work with, music education, are being withdrawn from those schools that need them most.
Has the work so far that UMOB done reaped rewards? Were you seeing change at all up until this point?
The outcomes have been really impressive. Some of our musicians have shown a really long-term commitment to schools and communities and been working in those communities for 10 years. And so the communities and the schools and the kids have really embraced those people, and they've formed strong relationships. And for 10 years, they've worked with Indigenous students to develop their skills, their self-esteem, use of language, and seeing the kids grow up, seeing the kids increase their engagement with the education process, seeing the kids grow into skilled individuals, and worked with those kids over a decade so that the outcomes have been really good, really rewarding for the musicians involved and really rewarding for the kids involved.
My name's Leah Pa'apa. I am the event director of the Mobfest events for Music Outback. The school programs and Mobfest have really become part of the, you know, the scene of these communities, that it's really kind of integrated. And where Music Outback has been working for 10 years, it's on the calendar and it's part of the community.
In the street, kicking a beat on my way to the court. Oh yeah, that's me. Got a ball on my hand, cause that's the plan. Not a worry in the world, do you understand? Always up for a challenge, all around talent. Born with light feet, gotta keep my balance. Like Mike, you can battle Tyson. Set like the sun on a gold horizon.
Leah, how and why did you get involved with Music Outback Foundation?
Initially, my sister's one of the long-term artists that has been going out to a community called Laramba in the Northern Territory. So I'd heard about the work and the relationships that she had been developing over 8 years there. And when they did Music Outback receive funding, they were looking for someone with an education background, and my background's in Indigenous education specifically. So it was a really exciting opportunity for me to use some of the things that I had been learning about and implementing in a urban sense, working and living in Melbourne with the community down here, into a remote context, and found so many similarities and so many, I guess, differences as well. So really bringing on the educational side and the community engagement side to what had been delivered primarily by musicians. And have been able to kind of over the last few years, I've had a few different hats now within the organisation, but being able to kind of help build on the richness of what these programs are. Like, absolutely, they are songwriting and music literacy and education, but there is this whole community and cultural significance and side of what we do that has so much potential to be developed and evolve.
Tell us about the role of facilitators, like how you came to incorporate them and how important they are.
Well, they're the heart of the organisation, the heart of the work, really. And the musicians that I chose in those early days, you know, just friends, really, people who I knew, I just knew that they would have an aptitude for that sort of thing. And interestingly enough, the festivals that I've worked, sort of the contemporary folk festivals around the country, places like Mullaney Woodford Folk Festival and the arts festivals, the people who move in those circles are very flexible and intuitive and able to kind of move with the moment, good improvisers, which is all qualities that you need when you're working in that context, because often things aren't as you would have expected them to be when you get there. If something is different, kids aren't there that you expected to be there, or you've got more kids than you expected, or just there could be any number of things going on, and there have been, believe me. it's very important for people to be able to adjust and yet still have that kind of those goals and those target outcomes in mind and be able to get there through another pathway. So the people I chose were really all about having that aptitude.
Walking the streets, kicking to the beat. Got the snare in my head, to the sound of my feet. I tap the table to the sound of the drums. I burn these beats like a CD-ROM. Lived all my life without the strife. These beats are so sharp, they cut like a knife. Got Duke right here, busting all these rhymes. We pass the mic, just to pass the time.
In the time that you've been with MOF, Leah, can you give us a ballpark figure as to the number of kilometres you've travelled in aid of enhancing educational outcomes for remote community youth?
I recently was out in going in between the Pitjantjatjara lands in South Australia and Tea Tree, which is in the Northern Territory. And just in my month there of consultations, I clocked up 5,000 kilometres on the odometer. And that was just one trip. So it's been a lot, and that's not including the flights. You know, I recognise that we fly over many Indigenous nations to get out to these communities, and, you know, this work's needed all over the place, really. And, you know, there's so much work, and, you know, we're a small organisation and we're operating out of Melbourne, but the potential, you know, we see the kids light up. You know, when I was in Onabella recently, or Pukacha, you know, liaising with community, and go down to the general store and people started calling me Mobfest. So that was my name while I was in community. Hey, Mobfest, what you doing, Mobfest? And, you know, just the kids recognise who we are now and you know, are expecting us to come, and looking forward to that. And that's, you know, that's really exciting and a really beautiful experience for us to be able to be out there.
Speaking of Mobfest, Dave, with the number of fronts in which MOF is taking on educational opportunities, touch on Mobfest and what it adds to the existing programs on your roster.
It's a fantastic opportunity for communities to see their young people performing and demonstrating, showcasing their skills. And it does do a lot for the kids' self-esteem, but it also, you see the elders sitting there with some pride, seeing the people from their community acquiring skills through the process. It's really nice.
And we're kicking back, uh-huh. Like there's nothing else to do.
Streets, kicking a beat, no cares, no worries, ah, yeah, that's me. I'm coming from the heart, if you know what I mean. Just kick back, relax, like you're living the dream. Cause behind the scenes, it ain't what it seems. Turn to God when life gets mean. Life or death, what's in between? I don't really know, but I'm keen to see.
And we're kicking back, so
what we gonna do?
What we gonna do?
From day one, what were Music Outback Foundation's main principles, and have they changed at all?
Continuity, I would say, would be the biggest thing. Long-term, meaningful relationships that should be formed between the facilitators and the kids, obviously, but also the school teachers, and very, very importantly, the community members themselves. So where we've been going the longest, we've got very strong relationships through the kids right to the parents and grandparents, and really they've described us in absolute terms as their own true sons and daughters, as actual family to them, because we keep coming back and we keep working with them to deliver what they want for their kids, which is as much about arts and music as it's also as much about the opportunities for their own culture to be included. And that is another side of the coin that has been a very important principle for us, is to act as a platform where community, local, indigenous culture can be expressed as part of the work we do through the participation of community adults and elders. They're part of our team at an absolute core level, and then also during the year when we're writing songs with the kids in our regular workshops that happen during the school year, as much as possible the community elders get involved. So it gives an opportunity for parents to be involved in a structured program out of school, which often you don't see out on remote communities. There can be an isolation that occurs between schools in a community and the community themselves, and it's very clear to anyone who's out there that getting the community and teachers, community elders engaged with the schools, working with the kids, part of that whole system of learning, is a very important part of having success out there in education. Yeah, in fact, they outline principles themselves. There was a remote conference that happened in 2003 that I took part in, where all the indigenous education workers came into Alice Springs and came up with five principles that were very important to them in terms of the criteria that remote education should be delivered under. Yep. And what those were in local language and culture, supporting literacy and numeracy, building relationships with community, engaging indigenous staff, and meaningful, relevant learning to the kids. In other words, local content, local cultural content. So I recognized that the music work that we were doing already engaged those principles, and we simply then were able to expand on that and always make sure that that remained a part of what we did.
Is there scientific evidence in regards to the advantage in music education?
Yeah, there's just been some recent studies by the Australian Council of Education Research showing how music education can improve, at a very basic level, kids' engagement with schools. also their attendance at schools, their self-esteem, and then building on that, numeracy and literacy. And you touch on a really significant and central point to the whole program, and there are a couple of other organisations that try to do similar things. But when we talk to schools about doing music education in their schools, a lot of these schools in remote communities are under a lot of pressure to improve numeracy and literacy, with the whole focus on getting students job ready by the time they finish schools. But they say, oh, if you take our kids away for an hour, that's an hour less that we've got with them doing literacy and numeracy stuff. There's a lot of research which shows that music education and general arts education gives kids the self-esteem, the engagement with the educational process that will lead to improvement in numeracy and literacy. And that's not to mention just the basic writing, reading and numbers work that happens through songwriting process. But we often lose that argument with schools and principals that are really under the pressure to produce better NAPLAN results each year. So it's an interesting issue, and it's one ongoing debate. But like you say, there is hard-edged evidence to show that music education improves educational outcomes.
Tell us how engaged a community becomes when you arrive in a remote area.
They become incredibly involved, you know, and it takes time, and it's always about relationships and being on the ground and always coming back is really important. We recognise that we come back, you know, we keep flying in, and that has allowed us to really, you know, to develop those solid relationships. And we're at a point now where even if it's not at Tea Tree, even if it's not someone from the previous year, just by being known that you're with Music Outback, the elders automatically welcome you in because you know you're with that mob. And that's really significant for us as far as continuing and developing and growing the relationships. And I think, you know, Mobfest has become not only its own kind of festival and celebration of all that the kids do and the community does, but it's become a really positive engagement point for the community and for the parents into the schools. And a lot of times, you know, even in Melbourne, the only time parents come up is when they're called to the principal's office because their kids have been naughty, yeah, or, you know, picking their kids up or dropping their kids off from school. So all of a sudden we have this time where there's elders and parents engaged and teaching at the school and delivering their culture to the school and feeling valued within, you know, what is really a Western construct that they haven't necessarily been through themselves or understand particularly well. So I think, you know, not only is it culturally, but it's also as far as educational outcomes, you know, it's very similar to that PACE, you know, parent and community engagement program that happens all over the place. It's like we're engaging parents and community into positive positive experiences within the school year, and that has a huge significance, I think.
Coming home.
Please share your thoughts in regards to looking back at the establishment of the foundation and the work done thus far.
Well, when I look back at the last 10 years, it's been a real journey. It's had some unexpected turns for me. For instance, it was always something I expected to be doing on the side. As I mentioned, I've been a musician all my life and been a performer around festivals around Australia. And so I've seen myself as part of a fraternity of musicians and artists that have been doing this work. It's kind of taken over. Music Outback has kind of taken over for me because as it grew. And so on a personal level, that's something that needs addressing. I think it's important to maintain your practice as an artist in order to be able to be a good educator in the arts. So on a personal level, I'm working that way. But also there's so many ways that you can look at this. What's happened over the last 10 years, I see that the numbers of people that have come together to do this work and have made a lifelong commitment to engage with Indigenous Australia through the skills that they have as musicians and artists, whether it be with Music Outback or independently. I feel very honoured to have been to have played a role in helping people make connections with remote Australia and Indigenous Australia that way. As I said, it's something that it took me 40 years of being an Australian to actually achieve myself, and I think that's a common story for us mainstream Western people who live on the coast. We don't really have many opportunities to make these connections, but when you do, you form real deep, meaningful friendships, family connections that are people that you're going to know all your lives and all their lives, and it's through that connection that good things will happen. It's through the sharing that happens with friends that good things happen. And so, I do feel honored to have been part of that development, to be part of the front that actually sees more and more people connecting with remote Australia. I actually counted them up the other day, and there's probably over 150 people that just in the last 10 years have been involved through Music Outback. Many of them previously not having had those opportunities. So I think that's an important thing, and it's a lesson I think could be applied in many other areas of life in Australia, of Australian life, if people actually found a way to make a connection with Indigenous Australia and then just did what they do, sharing their knowledge both ways through those connections. I think we'll see great improvements in health outcomes, great improvements in education outcomes, and we as white fellas on the coast or wherever we live also will benefit greatly from the wonderful rich cultural knowledge that we can just tap into. We're all living on the same continent here, and I think it's very important that those connections are strengthened.